Big business story now. Rumors of a multi-billion dollar acquisition by Apple. And of course, it's so hard to penetrate the opaque business face of Apple, but maybe we can find a crack somewhere.
The Forbes list just changed.
In a big what?
Oh, my.
Understand that.
Oh, my.
The first billionaire in hip-hop right here from the mother West Coast.
First billionaire in hip-hop. You might have seen this selfie video posted overnight by R&B singer Tyrese Gibson with Dr. Dre before the would-be billionaire maybe thought better of it and pulled it down. The enthusiasm there just might possibly be referencing the rumors that Apple is in talks to buy Beats Music LLC, the headphone and streaming music company owned by hip-hop legend Dr. Dre, buying it for a reported $3.2 billion. Joining us now is Dan Charnas, author of the book The Big Payback: The History of the Business of Hip Hop. Dan, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
So you can excuse Dr. Dre for some excitement there, probably.
It's a great landmark. And listen, I'm part of writing that book was cataloging these landmarks. And if it's true, it's a big landmark. I mean, I'm sure that Dr. Dre's not going to get all of that $3.2 billion, but it is a quite an increase in his value. What artists like him in hip-hop have been doing over the past 10, 15 years is branching out into consumer products.
And really, this is a story about Apple needing to have a hipper brand.
That's right.
It's also about Dre. I mean, they're buying headphones and they're buying a streaming service, but the whole style of the way Beats works versus the way iTunes works is really at the center of the pivot that's going on in the industry right now.
That's right. So let's go back into history, right? In 2001, Apple buys SoundJam Music Player, which they rebrand as iTunes. And it really was just a play for Apple to have music, right, to with the iTunes Music Store, mm-hmm. which came shortly thereafter, to feed into its iPod to sell more iPods. iPods became iPhones. The business expanded. The iTunes Music Store has something like 800 million subscribers now.
That's right.
But this iTunes Music Store is, even though it's digital, it's still based on the idea that people want to own these little bits of code we call songs and albums.
Which is what Steve Jobs was obsessed with. He said people don't want to rent music, they want to own it.
That's right. And all the while, there have been these other models emerging, right? We could call the Pandora model, which is a streaming model. Based on your preferences, but you don't actually select the music, the exact tracks you want to hear. They feed you the music based on your preferences.
And Beats technology basically says, here I am, this is how I'm feeling, this is what I'm doing, give me some music now, and that's what Beats does.
Right, but what it also does is it allows you to select yourself from a huge library of popular music, just like Spotify. So if I want to listen to a particular song, I can click that song and listen to it. So Beats emerged as a primary competitor to Spotify.
1,000-a-day sign-up. They've only been going since earlier this year. They were part of a technology that Dre bought. What do you think about the synergy here between Beats, Dre, and Apple at this point?
The companies are very similar in the sense that they are the perfect unification of product and brand, right? Although I must say that I think the Beats product, especially the headphones, you know, for folks who use them, aren't quite as sold on the quality of those products. I think it's more marketing than quality.
But in terms of brand projection, you see someone with those Beats headphones on, it's just as high profile as seeing someone with an iPhone.
Absolutely. So Apple and Beats have that in common. What this does for Beats, what they need is a captive market. You know, those 800,000 users in the iTunes store.
Users, right? 800 million users.
800 million users, yeah. Right? And for Apple, it's a foothold in the streaming universe that they haven't been able to crack. They didn't do what they wanted to do with iTunes Radio. Genius was kind of a flop for them. So this is a way for them to get into that market in a way that they really haven't been before, and to do it with a kindred spirit in branding.
In some ways, this continues a narrative that hip-hop is not just music, that it is a lifestyle, business, revenue, set of products. It's a really big dimension here.
That's absolutely right. It's a culture. It's a lifestyle. It's not just music. It's consumer products. It's fashion. And, Dre has really been, since the founding of Beats Electronics, been at the pinnacle of this. He has really been able to create a brand that represents hip hop but is a mainstream brand that everybody wants a piece of.
So Apple is going to be testing, does Beats work for country music? Does Beats work for classical music? Can that brand embrace those other genres, those other lifestyles without actually distracting or you know, putting people off?
I believe that it can. I mean, listen, every service has its sort of core demographic, and I think that Dr. Dre's, you know, and Beats' core demographic are young people, maybe young multiculturals, but I think that Beats, if it's a good service, anybody will use it. Just like I see, you know, adults walking around wearing Sean John apparel.
$3.2 billion for Apple is, in fact, pocket change. If this works out, other acquisitions, I suspect, to follow. Dan Charnas, author of the book The Big Payback, The History of the Business of Hip Hop. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.